Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What about this new pope? We took a look at who became the first Peter to go to Rome. And now let's look at this man to see what he's going to do. Because as I have mentioned before, and you need to download the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, that is a detailed historical analysis and proof that the system that is in Rome came from ancient Babylon and is an amalgamation of all the pagan religions of the world. And we also saw how that it originally began this side of the flood with Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Now, the book, The Two Babylons, shows that when the scattering of the people from the Tower of Babel occurred, they took with them the names of the gods, Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. However, when the languages were confounded or confused, changed, in history, it gave the sudden appearance that there were many, many gods, many, many different kinds of gods in the world. But the truth is, it all comes back to ancient Babylon, and that is projected forward into modern Catholicism. Now, Time magazine came out with an astonishing title for this pope: New World Pope. Now, what does that mean? As we saw, he does not have the charisma or the power of miracles. Now, unless he receives it beginning very soon, which I doubt he's going to, then he cannot be the last pope. However, he can be the preparer. He can be the builder for the new world religion. So Pope Francis the First, and he took the name because the Francis of Assisi was very friendly with the Muslims. So let's see what he's going to do, because, you see, the thing that is important is this. If there is going to be a one-world religion with amalgamation of all religions, now they're all not going to unite together in the sense that they become a monolithic belief of themselves. Because, you see, as we saw in Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the world. And her daughters are not going to come back home and be little children again. So this has to be by agreement. And this has to be by making things easy for everyone to acknowledge everyone else's religion. And if we do that, everything will be fine. After all, the problem with the world today and their religions is that they are all against each other. And think about it. When we read the book of Revelation, we know that this is talking about the end time. And if you don't have our series, the Daniel and Revelation series, you request it. We will send it to you. Now, what we're doing here is letting you know where to get the facts, where to get the truth, so that you can check it with your Bible. Now, here in Revelation 17, you may ask the question, how is it that there's going to be this amalgamation, this federation of all the world's religions coming under the tutelage of Rome? Now, remember, the book of Revelation talks about the false prophet who does signs and wonders and miracles. But you see, because men have rejected God, substituted lies and myths and doctrines of God by replacing them with all the pagan things, rejecting the truth. See, here at Church at Home, we're dedicated to the truth of the Bible, the truth to what's going on in the world. And we know all the difficulties and problems involved. And just like many other people can see, because we're not the only witness in the world, God raises up many to be witnesses for him concerning the truth. There are political witnesses, there are economic witnesses, there are religious witnesses. And so we have a part of doing that so that you can understand that everything in this world comes from rejecting God. That's the system that is in the world. Now, within that, there are those religions who are friendly toward Jesus, those who are against Jesus, those who are wholly pagan like the Roman system, and alongside that, you have the true Church of God. Those few, those scattered, who love God, who keep his commandments, who obey him, who are growing and overcoming and preparing for eternal life. And God is working in their lives his will so that they can change and grow and be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And after receiving eternal life at the resurrection, then the whole great family of God is going to take over the world, and we are going to bring the truth of God, the truth of why we're here, all idols, all religions, everything that men have done under the auspices of Satan the devil is going to be eliminated. So you need to decide, whose side are you on? And remember, everything today is confused by personal opinions and personal beliefs, most of which are based on lies and partial facts. Now here's how God is going to bring it about. Verse 17, Revelation 17. For God has put it in their hearts to do his will and to act with one accord and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. So there is the religious power which sits on top of everything. And above that is Satan the devil and his demons. And remember, as we saw last time, that the false apostles and the false ministers appear as angels of light. Now, let me read to you from a report here of what this new pope is going to do. He has said that his top priority is ecumenical outreach to other religions. So he says that it is his determination to continue the path of ecumenical dialogue. And he's already had a number of high-level ecumenical meetings. Now, quoting this article, not only has he worked hard to reach out to leaders from various Christian traditions, he has also made it a point to try and acknowledge the mutual bonds that he feels with other religions. What are the mutual bonds? Question, who is the God of this world? Satan the devil. He is going to bring them all back together, and God is going to give him permission to do it. Just like in the book of Job, Satan came to God and said, take away the hedge and he will curse you. God said, go ahead. Well, likewise, All men want to get together. All men want to set up a world government. The super elite of this world are working everything toward that way. In a recent address, he said this, that Muslims worship and pray to the one God that he also worships. How can that be? And that, quote, all roads lead to the same God. That's the philosophy that's in the world. Now, you go back and look at our segments that we have done, The Coming One World Religion. We're going to see it unfold and come together even more. This philosophy is a hallmark of the one world religion that the global elite have been slowly building toward for decades. Now, the global elite, who are they? Well, we don't know the names of them directly. We may know some of the names of some of them. But they are the super elite that control the world. The governments and the finance and the religion. That's why it's beyond the point at this time, anywhere in the world, that a political movement or electing a certain man is going to change anything. You need to turn to God, not back to men. So they know there has to be a one-world economy. We're about there. With a one-world currency, we're almost there. And a one-world government, we're not quite there yet, but we're moving toward it. So what they do, they throw out the biblical truth for the sake of friendship between men and women of different religious faiths. Now, isn't that nice? Remember, Herod and Pontius Pilate became friends over the fact that Jesus was crucified. If there's going to be a one-world religion, please note and understand this. It must include Catholicism and Islam. So there are going to have to be some changes that have taken place. So here's what he said in a recent ecumenical movement. I then greet and cordially thank all of you, dear friends, belonging to other religious traditions. First of all, the Muslims who worship the one God, living and merciful, and call upon him in prayer, and all of you. I really appreciate your presence. In it I see a tangible sign of the will to grow in mutual esteem and cooperation for the common good of humanity. I wish to repeat this, promoting friendship and respect between men and women of different religious traditions. It also attests to the valuable work that the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue performs. When he says interreligious dialogue, he's thinking of Islam. So that, as I have mentioned, in order for there to be this amalgamated religion in the world, there's got to be peace with Islam. Now, it'll be very short, but it will be long enough so that it's going to work for a while. Now, let's see what his reputation was when he was cardinal in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. Here is what Sheikh Moshe Ali said. His humility drew my attention. He always showed himself a friend of the Islamic community. And so, he earned a reputation of being a cleric that really knows Islam. There was another astounding thing that happened. Before his inaugural address by Francis I, the Pope had a private meeting with ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew from Istanbul, and he attended Francis' inaugural Mass on Tuesday. Now note this. It was the first time the spiritual head of the Orthodox Christians had attended a Roman Pope's inaugural Mass since the great schism between Western and Eastern Christianity in 1054 A.D. And Francis called Bartholomew my brother Andrew. What do you know about that? Remember Peter and his brother Andrew? Well, they look upon that as a great sign for bringing things together. So what happens here? In doing this and saying these things, Francis is denying the divinity of Jesus Christ. Of course, why would he not do that? Because that's the only way that you're going to get the religions together. Now, what did Jesus say concerning himself? Did he come and make alliances with the scribes and Pharisees? Now, they were all upset because he came and saved sinners, because he did not come and join them politically. Now, when we come to John 14 and verse 6, here's a verse you need to understand. Now, human beings like to compromise. Human beings like to get along and go along, or be fighting and warring against each other so that one can get an advantage over the other. And all of these things play into the deceptive minions of the Antichrist. So let's see what Jesus said. Remember what he said. We've covered this many times, that the way of the world is broad and many go there. The way to salvation is narrow and difficult, and few go in that gate. Now, on his last Passover, Jesus said this to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in order to bring all religions together, not only do you have to deny God, you have to deny the Word of God. You have to deny what God has instructed us in the Bible. So he says this, in this we feel close enough to all men and women who will, not recognizing themselves belonging to any religious tradition, feel themselves nevertheless to be in search of truth, goodness, and beauty. This truth, goodness, and beauty of God, and who are precious allies in efforts to defend the dignity of man in building a peaceful coexistence among people and in guarding creation carefully. So he wants to intensify the dialogue with other religions. And he is thinking particularly concerning Islam. Now, I call your attention to this fact. The vision of Fatima is a very guiding light for the Roman Catholic Church today. They understand the first two parts of the vision of Fatima. The third part, they have not yet revealed to the world. But understand this, the vision that the children saw concerning the vision of Fatima were Muslim. But let's ask a question. Would God want this? Does the New Testament teach that this is a wonderful thing for us to do? Does it show how man is really going to come and finally get the world in order, end all wars, control all governments, all have an acceptable amalgamation of religion? Well, let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's see what God tells us concerning these kind of compromises. and concerning these kinds of things that go directly against the laws and commandments of God and the Word of God. And it comes as a shock to many people. They don't realize it because they've never really investigated the doctrinal truths of the Bible versus the doctrinal declarations of men and their religions. And what you're going to find, 99% of what Roman Catholicism teaches are based on human traditions and lies. Though they use the name of Jesus, though they use the name of God, though they sound like they're Christian, as Revelation 13 says, they speak as a dragon. So let's ask the question, is this good work of men something that God will acknowledge that is right? So this Pope can have all of these meetings and they can have their councils on interreligious cooperation and harmony. But what does the Word of God say? Should we join it? Should we applaud it? Should we be thankful that it's going to happen? Should we take the posture, well, finally, we're all going to get together? Well, it may stay together for a while. But as Ezekiel 13 says, it's just like whitewash. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So it's going to have to take a spiritual power of Satan the devil to modify and tame down the radical Islamists and get them to accept an amalgamated position in this one world religion. Now, they'll all be associated, so they're going to have to tolerate. They're going to have to put up with these things. They're going to have to put down all of the radical jihadists. Now listen to what Paul wrote. For what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? And isn't that exactly what the Christianity of this world is? Oh, we want to be right before God. We want to have our sins forgiven. We want eternal life. Yes, but oh God, we love our Sunday. We don't want your Sabbath. And we love our Halloween and Christmas and Easter and New Year's, but we don't want your holy days. You see what that does? Being unequally yoked together? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? Did Jesus do that when he was here? You read Matthew 23, how he castigated the religious leaders of his day and called them hypocrites and liars, and pretenders, and thieves, and robbers. Notice verse 15. And what union does Christ have with Belial? And what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? Amazing statements, aren't they? So if this man, Francis the First, is supposed to represent God on earth, if he is the replacement of Christ on this earth, then he is directly going against the Word of God, which he professes that he upholds. Verse 16, and what agreement is there between a temple of God and idols? For you are a temple of the living God. Exactly as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, that's what God is telling us that needs to happen in our lives, see? Through repentance, through baptism, through receiving of the Holy Spirit, through the keeping of the commandments of God, through the inner working of the Holy Spirit of God, to form us and create us as a new creation, preparing for the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what God says to those who are true Christians. Therefore, come out of the midst of them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. Now, what is that? That is a call to repentance. That's what the Bible teaches. All of this other is satanically motivated and compromising and bringing men together in agreement. And God is the one who is causing it to be done because that is their desire. And that is Satan the devil's desire. And just like every level of operation that men have done, it will come to a colossal failure. So that's God's message to Francis I. Do you think that you are going to do the will of God by doing your will? It isn't going to happen. So this shows you why it's important that you understand about where this religious system has come from. So you download the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop, and you will see that this satanic religious system has been around for thousands of years. And they have stolen the name of Jesus Christ. They have stolen the name of God the Father. And now they're going to try and bring all of the base religions of the world together so they can all be together, kind of like a United Nations of religions. And now we will bring peace to the world. Well, you need to understand the right way of God, the true way of God. And as the Bible shows, the Word of God shows, these efforts are going to be failed and utterly crushed and destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org. Be sure and download the material we have on the article click button on our home page. And continue to watch Church at Home, because we will keep you up to date on the things that are taking place. And we are going to also now, after this, we're going to ask the question, was the Apostle Peter ever in Rome? So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. And until next time, so long, everybody.